So as you know, we've started a season on Beatitudes, before I was told which Beatitude I'd be speaking on, I was reading through all of them every night for a week or so, just getting familiar with them. And to be honest, there was one that I found that I didn't kind of connect with, you've guessed it, it's the one that I was given. It's so typical, isn't it? So verse 7, let's read it together, shall we? Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Okay, before we go into this, has anyone heard of the Jesus Prayer? I hadn't either, and I've been a Christian most of my life, but it goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It's a very simple prayer. Eddie Lyle taught me it recently, and it's been around since the 5th century. I'm not saying that Eddie's been around for the 5th century, but you never know. He is like some Christian Jedi master, isn't he? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Or as Eddie would say, mercy on me, Son of God, have. So repeat after me. We'll do it 3 times because apparently it's an orthodox thing. These things were said 3 times. There's lots of threes in the Christian church, isn't there? Okay, so, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. So what is mercy? Well, mercy is a kind of compassion or pity, if you like. We don't really like the word pity these days, but that's what it is. But it's more than just a feeling. It's something that has to have an action with it. You can't be a merciful person or someone that's known to be merciful unless you're actually doing or being merciful. And it's a unique situation as well, because it's a situation that is like a power difference. So one person is in a position of power over another person, or being able to help another person. For example, if I was to give Paul some chewing gum, well, that would just be giving Paul some chewing gum. But if Paul had bad breath, that would be merciful. Probably to me more than anyone else. So when I thought about mercy, the first thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about mercy was the story of the Good Samaritan. An amazing story. I've been reading it for the last few days, and the more you dig, the more's there. It's just a phenomenal story. And I can't go into it as much as I'd like to tonight, but I really encourage you to dig deeper into that story, because there's some things there that, from a Western perspective, we just don't get. It's worth a look. Right, but first, you're looking a bit glum, so a joke to help liven the mood slightly. So Jesus walks into a bar with his disciples and gives them a little wink, and he goes up to the barman and he says, 13 large glasses of water, please. No? Okay, let's try that again. Jesus walks into a bar and the barman says, not you again. No, still no. One more for luck. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan walk into the bar, and the bartender says, is this some kind of joke? Getting there. Now, can you see what I did there? I put you in a position of power over me. So some of you were merciful and laughed. Clock that. The other half, well, I'm not sure you're saved, really. So, shall we read the parable of the Good Samaritan? Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, They beat him and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. And when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side as well. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Amazing story. So what can we learn about mercy from this story? Well, mercy is a value. It's born out of our internal kind of values and attitudes we have. And it comes out spontaneously when the need arises. In this story, only the Samaritan had that value in him. It's like a reflex almost. You're in the situation and you just act. Did anyone feel the earthquake yesterday? No? I was sitting at home just looking through this stuff and felt the jolt and I thought, I know what that is. And my wife laughs at this, but I got up and stood under a doorway. Because where I grew up, that's what you do. And I haven't lived in New Zealand for, 20 years now. So it was just a reflex. Because I knew what it was, I hadn't experienced it for so long, and yet I just did it because that's what you do it to do. Because we used to have them all the time. Another thing about the story is that it challenges our stereotypes and our prejudice. The listener of the story would have not expected the Samaritan to help this man. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. So who would you walk past? Difficult question, I know. A homeless person? Gang member? Staunch atheist? A vegan? I'm joking. Some of you are taking that too seriously. Mercy is also sacrificial, isn't it? From the story, we can see lots of different ways in which it was sacrificial. It was sacrificial in time. For the Samaritan's compassion overcame his need to be somewhere else at a certain time. I don't know about you, but I find it difficult being inconvenienced when my schedule is interrupted. And I find it difficult to adapt. But that's what mercy is. It demands us to be available as the Holy Spirit prompts. And it's putting our own agenda on hold so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit and act accordingly. Those of you that know me know that we have a large family. And there's an amazing group of people in the church that help us out. And it's just phenomenal, their mercy towards us. We've got a couple in the church that do a big load of washing for us every week. They come and just grab, it's a big bag. Got 5 kids. They don't do the kids stuff, but they do like the bed stuff and the sheets and towels and stuff. It's such a blessing to have that. Take that burden taken off us. Real blessing. There's also other amazing people in the church. You probably know most of these people, actually. But they help us every week. Me and my wife go to Connect Group together because they come and babysit for free. So you can see that mercy has a sacrificial element of time. It also has a financial cost, or it can do. You know, the Samaritan paid 2 denarii to the innkeeper to look after the victim. 5 years ago now, we had twins, and it was a very high-risk pregnancy for my wife. And that's my mum on the right, and that's one of the boys. And my mum's 5'2", so she's not a big person. Although her hand looks big there, it's not her hand. It's just the size of the baby's quite small. And they were high risk. And we had this amazing friend come. She drove for over an hour. She had cooked a week's worth of food and put it in little foil trays. And we had to buy a freezer, an extra freezer to put all of it in. But she had just had triplets. Amazing mercy. The lengths people will go to help other people is just phenomenal. Safety. As you can see in the story of the Samaritan, you know, this injured man could have been a trap. He could have been lying in wait with his, you know, bandit mates, waiting to jump out and attack the next person to come along. You know, that may have been the reason why the previous two didn't stop. So in helping the victim, the Samaritan put himself in harm's way. And the question for us is, would we put ourselves in harm's way to help someone? A few years ago, I went to Mozambique to help out with the disaster relief after the floods in 2000. And it is, when you go to a third world country and you do things like that, you are putting yourself in harm's way, because it's nowhere near as safe as here. And that's another element of mercy. Another element is comfort. You can be sure that whilst all this was playing out, the priests and Levite were home enjoying a nice meal with their families. Not so the Samaritan, who had to enjoy the company of someone injured, possibly dying, in a inn. One commentator writes, "Mercy may be practiced by many means, not by money alone, but by word, and if you have nothing, by tears." Mercy is important to God. He commands us to be merciful. Luke 6:36, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." I was shown mercy, therefore I should show others mercy too. And I'll be blessed because of it. That's pretty much what this verse is saying. God had mercy on us by sending us his Son Jesus. God literally put himself in our shoes. And we're to do likewise. To be ambassadors to the Saviour. But God values mercy more than rituals. In Matthew 9:13, it says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He wants our heart to be involved as well. This is not just, you know, fulfilling Christian obligations. This is a heart thing. And it's intrinsic to God's nature. Titus 3:5 says, "He saves us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy." Our salvation is based on his mercy. And his mercy is what keeps us going. Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God loves mercy because he values it. It's one of his values. It's one of his characteristics, if you like. One spiritual commentator says this, "Mercy is a very prominent spiritual feature. It is an indispensable trait in the holy divine character that becomes ours as a result of a warm and close relationship with God. It is a quality given to us through his indwelling spirit, and we yield in obedience and cultivate it." There's an obligation to keep it going. Matthew 25:40 says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. With mercy, there's a sense of not just doing it for others or even doing it for God. There's almost doing it to God, that verse says.
God of justice, Savior to all, came to rescue the weak and the poor, chose to serve and not be served. Jesus, you have called us. Beside the broken, we must go, stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action, we must go. To act justly, every day, loving mercy, in every way, walking humbly before you, God. You have shown us what you require. Freely we've received, now freely we will give. We must go, lift a feet. Beside the broken, we must go, stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action, we must go.
How do you feel after seeing that? You know, the first time I saw that, it just made me so angry. Because that's me walking past. I've done it before. So many of us are caught up in ourselves so much that we miss the fact of God at work, and we can be involved. We miss the opportunity to be salt and light in this world. So how do we become more merciful? It's simple, really. You want to become more like Jesus? Spend time with him. You want to be more loved? Spend more time with him. You want to be more merciful? Spend time with him. Spend time with the one who shows us mercy. The answer to every question, the answer to every prayer, the answer to every request is rooted in your personal devotion time. And in conclusion, the one thing I'd like to look at is the mercy we have for ourselves, because God has given us his Son. He can't be any more merciful than he already is. He's given us everything. But have we received it? Are we merciful with ourselves? Or are we hard on ourselves? George Bonanno says, God wants us to be merciful with ourselves. And besides, our sorrows are not our own. He takes them on himself into his heart. You know, there's maybe some people here tonight that think they don't deserve mercy. But you've got it wrong. You know, that tape that plays through your head that says, I don't deserve it. Let me put you straight. You were created by God. He loves you. And you're listening to the wrong voice. Ephesians 2:4. God is rich in mercy because of his great love for us. Do you recognize God's mercy towards you? Do you really understand how much God loves you? Now, if that's you, if you are struggling to receive God's mercy, if you think you don't deserve it, or, you know, you're not good enough, then it's time to put that right. It's time to change that thought, because it's wrong. God's done everything he can. He's merciful God. We've talked about that. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Father, may your Holy Spirit come into this place. We invite you here, Lord. May you fill this room with your mercy, Lord. God wants you to receive his mercy.